Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
It's to the man of the hour, the man of the weekend we have to go to. He's waiting patiently on the line. He is the 124th British amateur champion secured in the sunshine at Portmarnock Golf Club yesterday. James Sugrue, you can hear us?
I can.
You're very welcome. Life has changed. You're now doing things like talking live on the radio. Hello.
Yeah, it's been a fairy tale, right, the last few days.
Where are you at the moment? Have you gone home?
I'm at home. I'm actually watching Mallow are playing a senior football match out here in Moranabbey, so I'm out here watching that.
Okay.
And it's miserable.
Yeah, I saw the Ironman in that part of the world. The swim was cancelled. We were just hearing on the news, so it can't be too nice down there.
No, it is not nice there. Yeah, it's actually like a swimming pool out here as well, so it isn't. It isn't pretty.
Are people recognising you? Are you getting plenty of backslaps?
Yeah. Well, I went over to the corner and have the hood up and a hat on and the umbrella. So it's lashing. So I'm kind of, they mightn't be able to notice me. But yeah, I went back to the golf club last night and there was a big reception and I didn't get home until the early hours, shall we say.
I can imagine. That's Mallow Golf Club, James. Is it? Have you been there your whole life?
Yeah, I remember there all my life.
You're 22 years of age now. I mean, this is just a surreal thing, I would think, in so many ways. Can you give people a sense of your career to date? Like, I know you're a plus four golfer. Have you been over in the collegiate system in the US or generally coming through the ranks at Mallow?
I've been like in the Ireland setup since I was probably like maybe 15 or so. Mm. And I chose not to go to college in the States. I had a few offers and other things, and to be honest, I just didn't really want to go. I didn't think it was for me, and I just decided not to go. So
are you a bit of a home bird, is it?
Not really. I never really liked school either, and I was just kind of working away in the furniture shop there in Mallow. Mm. And just playing a lot of golf and going away a lot of trips with the GUI and things. That was one thing that has been massive. Like, the GUI have, you know, they'd be able to bring you on a lot of trips that you probably wouldn't be able to go without the GUI. And, you know, it's a lot of experience that you don't think is doing anything for you at the time, but it actually is in the long run, if you can get me.
Yeah,
you know,
playing
in front of massive crowds and what have you, and good courses and playing against good players and all these type of things stand to you. So, yeah.
I'm sure it does. And James, when you're working in the furniture shop and playing lots of different golf at local level and with the GUI, are you harbouring ambitions to, you know, ultimately maybe turn pro and to make it in golf? Yeah, that's sort of the plan.
Yeah, like I planned at the end of the year to go to Q School and, depending on how I got on, I was going to turn pro. Obviously, if I didn't do any use, I was just going to stay amateur. But that's what I want to do anyway for the rest of my life, is play golf. So yeah, it definitely was the goal.
When you entered the British Amateur Championship, realistically, what would have constituted a good week for you? Like, did you think I have a good chance of winning this, or where were you?
Well, it is a kind of a strange one because it starts off with 288 players at the start of the week. And then after 2 days, there's a cut and it's down to 64. So, like, there's a lot of players and a lot of good players that, you know, will miss the cut. So it is a bit open in one sense, you know. Like, you know, if you make the cut, it's kind of like anyone can win it almost. And match play as well. And, you know, anything can really happen. So, like, I didn't think at the start of the week that I was going to win. Mm. You know, I would have taken quarterfinals. I would have put it down as a decent week. Last year, I got to the last 32, and I didn't play that great. And I kind of thought that if I was playing okay and held a few putts, like it could be my week, or I could get close enough. Anyway, I'm just delighted that I got all the way in the end.
I'm sure you are. How fine did you cut it in terms of getting out of that bracket of 288 players down to 64.
Yeah.
Were you on the edge to get into the match play scenario?
Pretty fine.
At the Island, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I played Portmarnock the first day and the Island the second day. So the first day I shot 5 over on Portmarnock. Played probably my worst round of golf all year. It was I was out early in the morning. Conditions weren't great.
Yeah.
Just started poorly. Had a really bad front nine. Just kind of held it together in the back nine. And then I went down to the island the next day. And I knew I had to. I kind of went out like there was a lot of numbers being thrown around. There was people saying the cut was going to be. I heard it was going to be 10 over. And then when I went in, I was just having my breakfast with one of the South African lads that I know, and he had already played that morning, and he was 5 over total, and he was going home. Like, he was fairly adamant that he wasn't going to make the cut. So I was like, then I knew that I had to go under par.
Yeah.
So I was going all right. I was 200 through 15, then bogeyed 16, which is a par 3 in the island, and didn't hit a great drive really up 17, and hit a lovely iron shot into probably like 8 feet and missed the putt, and I was kind of kicking myself. At this stage, I was 1 under on the day, 4 over for the tournament, so I was kind of like, this is going to be right on the mark. So then the last hole is probably the toughest hole in the island. Thankfully, yeah. It was straight downwind, and I hit a nice drive, and only had a gap wedge in, and hit a lovely gap wedge to about 10 feet, and it just got enough of the hole and dropped in.
Wow.
So that was for 3 over total. The cut ended up being 4 over. So it was pretty tight.
It's amazing the margins, isn't it? If you don't do that, you're amongst, geez, I didn't even get into the top 64, I'm nowhere near it, and then you don't realise what you can do. You obviously enjoy match play. So in the final yesterday, in the sunshine, a real difference to today, in the sunshine of Portmarnock, you were playing against Scotland's Ewan Walker, and this is a 36-hole final, and it went all the way to the final green. It was very dramatic. I know you got off to a very fast start, and then it to'd and fro'd, as these kind of mammoth days do. Did you know Ewan Walker? Were you friendly with him?
Yeah, you did know him. I know Ewan quite well. I've been from being a boy and the Ireland setup, like he's kind of in the same road. He's been playing for Scotland for a nice number of years. So yeah, I've met him and played with him a lot during the years. He's a really, really nice player, and He won earlier on this year in South Africa in Leopard Creek. He's a fine player. He swings it lovely. He's just one of those guys that you don't really want to play in match play. He's not this bomber or anything. He just hits it down the fairway, hits it onto the green, and he's a very nice putter as well. So
you got off to a very good start. I mean, you took out driver on the first. I mean, I'm sure you were nervous. Did you make a plan to get off to a lightning start, or did it just happen that way? You went for it, right?
For the practice round, I wasn't too fond of the opening tee shot, but it kind of grew on me as the week went on. Like, as I said, the crowds were fucking unbelievable. It was, I've never in my life seen crowds like it on a golf course. It was a sight to behold. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I heard there was like 4,000 people there or something. So.
And of course, they're all around your match, so it's very intense. Yeah, it's like a Ryder Cup kind of feel.
Mm, like they had the ropes out and everything. They were only like, on fairways, there might have been, even on some occasions, I couldn't really fully stand behind my ball and kind of, line it up.
Mm.
So there were people right there, people right on the edge of greens and everything. It was cool, to be fair. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that.
How were nerves, James? Do you settle down into a round like that, or are the nerves there the whole time?
Yeah, to be fair, I wasn't too bad, thankfully. I just try not to think of it, really. It's kind of easier said than done. But
how did you sleep the night before?
I was, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it is when you're lying in bed at night is when you think of, if I win tomorrow, I'll be going to the Masters and things like that, you know?
It's hard to get to sleep after that thought creeps into your head.
Yeah, exactly. But, eventually I did fall asleep. It was probably like 12:30 or 12:45.
Okay.
But eventually I did fall asleep.
I heard you flicked on a Joe Rogan podcast to get you off.
Yeah. I enjoy a bit of Joe Rogan podcast.
Right. What did you go for to try and send you away? Who was he talking to?
Steve Ranella is his name. He might be everyone's cup of tea, but I like him. He's this hunting guy that that Joe gets on, he talks about meat and what have you and hunting. So I enjoy him.
That is fair enough. Did you get the breakfast down on Sunday morning, or how are you feeling?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't be a big breakfast man. I didn't have anything really substantial when I got up. But when I got to the club, I got myself a sandwich and a few bananas, and that done.
That did you?
I had half a sandwich before I teed off, and then I had the other half on the third hole. So
was Portmarnock a course through the GUI or through different outlets that you were familiar with? Did you have an advantage in that respect? Or
to be fair, it was actually almost the opposite. I had only played Portmarnock once before, and it was only 9 holes. It was with Darren Clark for the Champions Weekend. When you're like, if you win an under 18 event, Darren Clark takes you up to Portmarnock, kind of for he takes you out for 9 holes.
Yeah,
kind of just as a little thing to do. So yeah, I wasn't all that familiar with the golf course, and I only got one practice round there, but
yeah,
and I was familiar with it come yesterday afternoon anyway, because I'd played it enough at that stage.
I think I saw a quote from you. It's a really interesting one, because like, equipment does play a role in golf. You know, it's just that is an aspect of the sport that you were saying. You got talking to lads from Titleist in the build-up to the event, and they sorted you out with a new driver and a new 3-wood, which were far better suited to your game. Can you tell us about that? Because
yeah,
it's kind of mad that that plays such a role.
It is, yeah, it is. And like, I was using Titleist M4 3-wood and Titleist 917. I was using the TaylorMade M4 driver and the Titleist 917 3-wood.
Yeah.
And I just kind of upgraded the 3-wood to the new one.
Yeah.
To the TS3. And it was the driver really was really big for me. It's just so much, the flight in it is just so much better than my old one.
Mm.
Like I could confidently say this, I wouldn't have won with my old one, you know.
It's mad,
there's just
mad,
a lot
isn't
of
it?
Shots there that I couldn't have hit with my old driver, like drives into the wind and stuff, especially because 17 and 18 in Portmarnock play straight into the wind.
Mm.
And I ended up playing them 2 holes quite well for the weekend. I don't know, I just wouldn't have worked out with my old driver. It was
really,
just too
yeah.
spinny, and just wouldn't have happened.
Because I would have thought someone at your level would have been fitted perfectly for clubs anyway.
Yeah, well, I am, but it always, like, I am kind of fitted for clubs, but they always, you know, like, that driver that I use this week, it mightn't, you know, I might change it in a month or two. Is like, it's kind of strange the way it goes, and you just like kind of lose confidence in clubs.
Yes, it's true.
Like if you don't like looking down at a club as well, it's never really going to go well for you.
Yeah,
that was my problem with my old 3-wood. I didn't really change anything. It was the exact same shaft and everything.
Mm.
I told Scott, the guy in Titleist, that I just hated looking down at it, and he was like, no problem. He threw in a new head. I liked looking down at the new head a bit more, and it worked, thankfully.
It's amazing what just feel and confidence does with these clubs.
And a lot of it as well is probably in your head. Like, if you're thinking that, oh, this is better for me, you're going to play it better, you know?
So look, come here. Portrush, Augusta, Winged Foot. This is like bucket list territory. This is obscene.
Yeah.
Do you need a caddy, do you?
I'll grant you if I do.
So this is just surreal. Like, you're going to be at Portrush with Tiger and the boys, and then the Masters is the big one. That is just incredible. Like,
yeah, it is.
For non-golfing fans listening, like, Augusta's so famous, and it's only top 50 in the world plus exemptions that get into it. It's a very limited field. So you're going in as the British amateur. And by the way, that always means you get a bit of TV time as well, because the tradition is they show a bit of the amateur. This is just the business. How do you even put into words how much you're looking forward to all this?
Yeah, it is hard to put into words, to be fair. The Masters especially, there's pros out there that could go their whole life and never play a major.
Yeah.
You know, I've got 3 lined up. Like, it is crazy. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Do you know any of the pros? Like, do you know Shane Lowry, or have you been in touch with Harrington or any of these guys? Have they reached
Shane
out
texted
to
me know yesterday
yeah.
to say well done, obviously, and he said that we'll get a practice round together in Portrush. So
yeah.
I wouldn't like personally know any of them, but they all seem really nice. I see a lot of them gave me a shout out on Twitter as well, so that was also very nice and kind of surreal to see it.
Yeah, I guess there'll be good sounding boards to have ahead of going into these majors, and they'll give you a feel for what to expect. Yeah. So, in terms of turning pro, is the plan now to see it all the way through to next year's US Open at Winged Foot and then definitely turn pro? This must give you a huge amount of confidence.
Yeah, exactly. It is a huge confidence boost, but I'm obviously going to spend the next year as an amateur. I couldn't pass up those opportunities. And we'll see, I suppose, next year. Like, year is a long time. A lot of things can happen in a year. So.
Yeah.
That would be the plan, I'd say, turn pro after Winged Foot.
For people who haven't seen much of you playing, what's the real strength of your game, or what aspect of the game kind of do you feel you're best at, or what type of player are you? Are you big off the tee, or is it about the short game?
I wouldn't be like massively big off the tee, like not, you know, nothing scary or anything. But I suppose I would be fairly accurate off the tee. That would probably be my main strength. And this week I also put it quite well, so that's always a help, because out on tour it's just a putting match. Like, everyone on tour can hit it well and hit green. It's just who can haul putts. Like, that's who wins at the end of the week.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a text in from Wayne who says, huge congrats to James. If he wasn't a golfer, he'd be playing senior hurling or football from Mallow.
he's dead right. I used to play a nice bit of hurling and a bit of football. I still puck around with the lads and stuff. I pucked around every day up in Port Marnock with the lads. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we went down to the beach every day and pucked around. So I still have the touch, I think. But
I presume you don't play golf cack-handed, do you?
No.
Oh, geez, that's nice. So before you went and won the British Amateur, yeah, little puck around all week on the beach.
Yeah. And even Neil Manship, the Irish coach, he spotted us one day. We were just outside the club and he came in himself for a puck around, so it was cool.
I thought you were going to say he went out to tell you to get in. What the hell are you doing?
No, he's not like that at all. If you got to know him, he's pretty chilled and he's pretty cool, so he'd have no problem with stuff like that.
Listen, you've been really good with your time, so plenty of texts coming in saying big congrats. You join a fairly elite list. You're now just the 8th golfer from the island to do it. It's a great thing for Irish golf. It looked amazing in Port Marnock yesterday. The sun was out, not like today. So, hey, enjoy the next couple of months. It's going to be fun, James. Thanks a mil.
Cheers. Thanks a million. Thank you.
James Suger there, live on the line, who, as of yesterday, is the British amateur champion, and as such will play at the British Open at Portrush, next year's US Masters at Augusta, and next year's US Open at Winged Foot as well, and then, as you heard, will turn pro. So that's pretty amazing. And by the way, on the golfing front, before I go to Anthony Moyles, to celebrate the inaugural Off the Ball Open, which takes place this November in Abu Dhabi, we are hosting a Golf Weekly Classic. It's going to be on Monday, July 1st, so Golf Weekly friends of the pod. We're going to be at Paris Court in Wicklow on Monday, the 1st of July. Shotgun start 2 o'clock, 18 holes of golf, food afterwards, and then we'll record some kind of podcast preview in the Irish Open, which is on that week. If you want to come along, text the word golf to 53106 with your name. Text costs 30 cent, and we'll get back to you if we can. Every person selected will be allowed to bring a friend on the day, but if you want to come on your own and make space for others, then that is always encouraged, as a regular Golf Weekly Classic goers know. And it's all to celebrate the 2019 Off the Ball Open. The Off the Ball crew, along with Chemical Band, Kieran Donaghy, Peter Lawrie and more, are taking on two of the best courses on the planet, the Yas Links and the National, for the first ever Off the Ball Open this November. It's five nights in a 4-star hotel, Peter Lawrie Golf Clinic, gala dinner and a roadshow, November 17th to 23rd in Abu Dhabi. If you want to come along to that, then offtheball.com/open is where you need to go.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.